All right, for this evening, let's turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. I try to think often on the names of our Lord. So I tried to take a nap this evening, and right about the time I fell asleep, or started to fall asleep, I thought about the names of my Lord. And that's our defense. If we want to win an argument with somebody, we just declare His name. That's all we got to do. We have Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord who sanctifies you. Well, you got justification and sanctification confused. Man's got to sanctify himself. That's the Lord's name. He sanctifies you. Jehovah Nissi, my banner, my victory. It's the only flag that we wave like a guidon bearer. No flags for the units. He's our victory. Jehovah Reha, Lord's my shepherd. He guides us. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. I was wounded in sin, dead. He healed me. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Sitkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And I was thinking of this last week and a half, I've just had this message burning in me. And I thought of Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. What will the Lord provide? An opportunity? No. The Lord will provide everything that we have and need temporally. On this earth, physically, what we have here, the Lord gave it to us. And likewise, spiritually, anything in our heart, anything in His sight, anything in the law, anything, spiritually that's required, Jehovah Jireh. He'll provide it. He'll provide it. So I was thinking this last week about the situation our nation's in during this pandemic, and I began to worry. I worried if the Lord's work here may be ending. I worried if the Lord's work in other places may be ending. How's the Lord's going to sustain His gospel work in this generation? Throughout the globe, I started worrying. But I was brought to remember, I cannot sustain this work. You cannot sustain this work. Neither one of us can. The Lord God Almighty sustains His word. He sustains His work. He sustains the hearts of them that hear it. He sustains all. And that's not demeaning to a believer, is it? That's reassuring. That's comfort. And I began to consider the trial that the saints went through in Egypt. The Lord took them and put them in Egypt for 400 years under Pharaoh's. They were slaves. That's at least 8 generations that was born into slavery. They knew no different. And it wasn't something gentle. They had a hard time. That was rough. But that was hard on the Lord's people in that time. He had saints in that physical Israel. But we're far from removed from that story, aren't we? That's something we learn in a history book. And we can quote, we can talk about. But we have no emotional connection to that story. It was a couple thousand years ago. It doesn't touch me. What's a more recent event we can look at and be comforted that our Lord rules and reigns in all things? More especially, something recent we can look at that He preserves His gospel. Many of you all probably don't know this, but during the Cold War, there was a man somehow that heard the gospel. The Lord saved a man in Russia, USSR then, Soviet Union. And he was behind that iron curtain. That was not a pleasant place to live. I wouldn't immigrate there, would you? But he had some of Brother Bill Clark from England, some of his messages, and some of Henry Mahan's messages. And he got them translated somehow. And he got some bulletin articles and tracts and got those translated into Russian. And he started handing them out. And people wanted to hear that. The Lord saved some people through that. And they wanted to hear that. They wanted to hear that good news. They had a desire. They sought him. But as that grew, that desire grew, he didn't have a way of getting around. Whoa, what are we going to do? It's over. A man here in the United States during a Cold War paid cash money for a van for that man in Moscow. Sent him a van. Said he needs something to spread the gospel, give it to him. He sent him the money or the van. I don't know how it happened, but he got transportation. Somebody provided for it. And that man drove around the suburbs of Moscow handing out tapes to Brother Henry and Brother Bill. Isn't that something? Whenever we consider Mikhail Gorbachev, Boris Yeltsin, Vladimir Putin, whoever, they cannot suppress the word of grace purposed by our Master. Sheriff can't do it. Newsom can't do it. Trump can't do it. I worry. Lord, don't. Lord sustains His gospel. Our Lord provides all things in this earth, in our souls, provides all things of salvation, and He provides all things for eternity. Jehovah Jireh. While I was considering these things, I read this text. Matthew 17, we'll begin in verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, Yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free. That's the title of my message. Then are the children free. Verse 27. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go out to the sea and cast a hook, and take up the fish that cometh up first. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. For me and thee. Now this tribute money, this wasn't a tax for Rome unto Caesar. This was a temple tax. And what these collectors were speaking of was for the Jews only. They were required to do this. And like, I didn't write this down, but I think I need to touch on it. There's so many things we do in this world, in religion and in our daily walk. We have no idea why we do it. It's just a tradition. I was talking to some of the men here that's in the military. You got to give 110%. Why do we have to give 110%? Why not 125%? Well, I'll tell you why. There was 12 tribes of Israel, weren't they? The tribe of Levi, those were the priests. They didn't pay tithes. So they take a tenth from 11 tribes. How much is that? 110%. Now, that's a funny little note. Now we know where that came from. But everything that's provided by the Lord, for His people, for His work, there's more than enough. There's more than enough. But this tribute money began in Exodus. I'll be real quick about this. There was a shekel of the sanctuary. Every male child of Israel, they were numbered. They had numbers then. Every male child over the age of 20 had to provide a shekel of the sanctuary as a ransom for his soul. That's how the Lord worded it. And it had to be perfect, like it was straight from the U.S. Mint. It couldn't be worn down in your pocket. It was real silver then. Couldn't have little pieces shaved off. It had to be whole. Had to be perfect. And that was the ransom for our soul. What was one thing that's whole and perfect and ransom for our soul? Does that put it in remembrance? They took all those and they melted them down into talons. That was a unit of weight. And each talon was a socket in the floor of the temple. And so that way every time they walked in, they took those big posts and slid them in those sockets inside of those big old hunks of silver. And that held up the sides, of the tabernacle. So there wasn't a nail in it. You never heard a man sawing. You never heard a man swinging a hammer. The Lord built that place. And whenever you walked in, that all those talons, those shekels of the sanctuary melted down, made that floor in the tabernacle, you were standing on the completed redemptive work of Christ for His people. Now, is that a reminder? We're removed from that by a couple thousand years. We don't know those things. But the Lord gives us things we can't see. So He gives us this story. They came for that tribute money. And so these temple tithe collectors, what we'd call them nowadays, they came and they asked Peter, "Does your master pay tribute?" And Peter quickly replied, didn't he? "Yes. Yes, he does." And he'd been walking with Christ for a while now. It's been a few years. He knew. He'd seen, apparently seen him pay this before. He had an answer for him. Yes, definitely he does. But here our Savior is going to teach Peter something. He's going to show those hateful collectors something. And we can learn from this as well. We're going to learn from this. Verse 25, "He saith yes. And when he was come unto the house, Jesus prevented him." He stopped him at the door that let him speak, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" Now notice here, Peter was outside. He wasn't with the Lord. He was out of the house where the Lord was. And he didn't pay that money immediately. They said, "Does your master pay tribute?" He didn't reach in his pocket and give them whatever that tribute amount was, did he? He came to Jesus. Came to where Christ was. And what Peter needed was provided. He came to him. Isn't that a lovely picture? We walk around this world, we're always wanting. We're always needing something. We think we need something. We don't know the difference between want and needs. But when we come here to the Lord's house, reminded of Him, everything's provided. We don't want nothing. We don't need nothing. All our needs are met. Christ pays it all. But Peter talks to these men and he answers them, "Yes, my master pays tribute." And when he went into the house where Christ was, before Peter could announce why they was there, before those men could argue their case, that they want to tribute money while they come to ask them questions, Christ spoke before any of them could speak. And He asked His question. "What thinkest thou, Simon?" Now, have you ever noticed in the Scriptures, the Lord doesn't call Peter, Peter. He changes His name to Peter. He said, your name's Peter now. You're the rock. But He never called him that. That's the same with all His apostles. We looked at this the other day. He called them little children. He didn't say, "Well, this is the Apostle John." He said, "Come here, this is one of my little children, John." We should appreciate that. The Lord never lets us get puffed up. He never lets us get above our raisin. He keeps us as little children, reminding us that we're dependent on His power, on His mercy, on His grace in all things. But He asked him, "What thinkest thou, Simon?" Now, our Lord knew what Peter was thinking. That was a rhetorical question. He didn't let Peter answer immediately. I think I know what he was thinking. "I can't stand the government meddling in our business. I can't stand paying taxes. Oh, I hate it." That's what I'd think. In the business I had before I was called here, I paid a lot of taxes. We started finding deductions on everything that wasn't nailed down. And anything that was nailed down, if it rolled or didn't move, we tried to deduct it. I didn't want to pay them taxes. But I worked so hard for that money. I sweat, and Daddy came home bleeding a bunch of times for work, didn't I? I bled for that money, and I didn't want to see it go to a corrupt government that supported people that wouldn't work for themselves. They supported the killing of babies and on and on and on. I didn't want my money, my hard-earned money. I didn't want it going to them. And I murmured, I complained, I griped. But whose government is it? Who truly rules this nation and all nations? Who's the king? Romans 13:1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God." The powers that be are ordained of God. "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God." Now, me getting mad at those taxes I had to pay was not me being mad at corrupt politicians. It was me being angry with God who put those men there and who moves their hearts. That's what it boils down to. Somebody can get mad and say, I don't like to think of it that way. The Lord thinks of it that way. That's what he said. But what a blessing it is if we must pay a lot of taxes. It means you made a lot of money. Think about our brethren down in Papua New Guinea. Think about our brothers and sisters Christ died for down in the Yucatan, down there in the jungles of Mexico. If they made in a year what we pay in property taxes here in California, they would live like kings. And we complain about it. Isn't that something? But I can fully understand why so many men and women are so fervent about changing this world. I get it. I can understand that. If I didn't believe on Christ, if I didn't have eternal hope and being in glory with Him, if this world was all that I had, I'd start with education. I'd do some education reform. I'd do some welfare reform. Then I'd work on the environment. If this is it, this is all I got, I want my children and my grandchildren to have it better than I had it. That's what I'd work at. That's what I'd push for. I'd push to better the economy. I'd fight for the rights of the social injustices and the physical injustices. I would fight for those things. I'd want this world to be better. I would passionately fight for the causes that make it better for my lineage. But we have a sovereign God. He is ruling and reigning in all things. He controls where every grain of sand is after on La Jolla Beach. You go down the ocean, we'll go walk up and down the... Take your shoes off. Wiggle your toes in real good. Every grain of sand that moved underneath you, the Lord put it there. We can't... That's crazy, isn't it? You little ones. Can you imagine that? Somebody controlling every grain of sand in the ocean? Deep, isn't it? But we complain and murmur about the things around me. And I bring reproach on the Lord when I do that. When I murmur and I complain and I gripe and I'm... That's me. I'm talking to you, I'm talking to me. When I'm against everything around me, what I'm saying is I don't believe God reigns and I don't think what He's doing is right and I think my way's better. That's what my heart's saying. How did our Master handle false accusations? How did He handle persecution? The prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 50, "The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, because the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." That's our Master speaking. Christ is speaking there. I pray I'd be given the grace to set my jaw like a flint. You can strike a match on it. Oh, I wish I could be that set, looking to Him, trusting the Father, loving my brethren, trusting Him completely. And consider this. We look at Peter here. Peter fully knew that this tribute money was going to support false religion. Peter knew this tribute money was not going to a faithful pulpit. He knew that, didn't he? If Christ were here with us today, if He was here with us, and that Catholic church up the road came down the road and said, "Pay us tribute. That's the law of the land. You've got to pay us." I'd be like Peter whenever they come to get the Lord. I'd pull my sword out and I'd take somebody's ear off. It's fighting words. I'm going to fight for it. Would you be that way? I'd get mad. Our Lord did. And look here at verse 25, Matthew 17:25. He saith yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" Now here's a great picture of Christ's condescension. Here's the humbleness of His spirit and the faith He had in the Father. He came to this earth and He paid tribute. I was studying that for a week and a half, and I was just, my heart overflowed. It broke, and it was rejoicing at the same time. He owned the land they were standing on. He owned the clothes on their back. He owned their bodies. He owned the breath that was in their lungs. He owned everything that tribute came from. They said, pay us tribute. He said, all right. They should pay him tribute. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Christ should receive tribute of everyone there. But what happened? Almighty God in human flesh submitted to the law of the land. Seems like I'm beating that up, don't it? Think about this, though. Everything that our Lord encountered on this earth was unfair. Everything He went through was unjust. It was unreasonable. Everything the world did to the apostles was not right. That was unfair. But what did they do? They submitted. Why? Why did the Lord submit? Because we live here. I'm required to live. That, in Romans 13, ain't a joke. I'm required to live perfectly before the Lord on this earth. I can't do it. My Redeemer can. He came and lived perfectly. He was the only man that ever walked this earth that had a right to complain. But He opened not His mouth, the Scriptures say. He made the law. He shouldn't have to be subject to it. But He made Himself under the law. What does the king take a tribute from? His own children or strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free, notwithstanding, lest we should offend. Here's the King of Kings paying tribute. He who was rich became poor. He who was judge was made under the law. He that was the son was put under tutors. Saw that in Galatians, didn't we? Christ was a boy sitting under those tutors, those scribes and those Pharisees in the temple. Listening to them preach. You think He could have picked apart their messages? You think He could have publicly shamed them? He was sitting there listening to them butcher His law that He came to fulfill. And they butchered the pictures of Him that He moved those men of old to write of Him. The prophets in the Old Testament wrote of Him. But He sat under those faulty, fallible men. And we must sit under imperfect men too. Christ is our covenant head, and He came to pay all that we owe to God and to man. What's that mean? That's both tablets of the law. The Ten Commandments, the first five are to the Lord. He fulfilled them, He satisfied the Lord. Second five is to men. He satisfied those too. He fulfilled it all. What an example of faith, patience, and submission. The only one who ever had the right to complain never did. The only one who could have changed the social order of things. There's a lot of stuff I want to change in this earth. The one who can change them. I can get mad and I'm going to end up with a shiny pair of bracelets in county jail. The one who could change them didn't. Why not? Why didn't the Lord come here and make this world perfect? Why didn't He come here and stop them? Back in those days, they threw babies off cliffs. Why didn't He stop that? He said, my kingdom's not of this earth. My kingdom's of heaven. Shall I be concerned about things on this earth? My kingdom's not of this earth. I'm joint heirs with Him. That's my kingdom. It's already perfect. I don't have to do nothing. Now the children of the King are free, but they are not to offend. We're free from all these laws. But we're still not to offend. How do we become a free child of the King? We're born of God. We're adopted of the Lord. We're made children of God by the Spirit of God. That's how we become those free children. Turn over to Galatians 3. We looked at this a few months ago, but we'll be reminded of it. Galatians 3, verse 22. Galatians 3:22, but the Scriptures have concluded all under sin. Every human born on this earth was under the law of God, and each one of us are guilty. The law does not commend, the law condemns. But the Scriptures have concluded that all under sin, that the promise, the covenant that the Lord made, that He will be our God and we'll be His people, by faith of Jesus Christ, might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. We saw that schoolmaster before I was a hired servant, and his sole job was to take those children of the wealthy man to and from school, take them to and from the teacher. They took in the children of the king to the teacher. That's what the schoolmaster did. Who does the law, our schoolmaster, bring the free children of the king to? Look here in verse 24. Galatians 3:24. Wherefore for the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. Now we're the children of God. We're free from the law. Verse 26. For ye are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. To the king, children are born. They don't know what they're supposed to know. The law brings them to that great teacher, to Christ. And we learn. We're taught of God. We know we're freed from that law because of our Redeemer. And now we know we're children. Like we saw this morning, we have assurance. We know Him, don't we? Any person that's given an understanding of what God's holy law really requires. I mean, if you put that in real world application today, if you understand that, you love the sound of that. That's good news, be freed from that law. But though we are free from the law, notwithstanding, we should be without offense. God's children are freed from sin. We're freed from the law. We're freed from captivity. Freed from ignorance. If we know Christ, we know all things. Free from ignorance. Free from superstition. In the scripture, superstition means overly religious. We're freed from that. And we're freed from death. Child of God is made free through Christ. Turn over to Romans 13. Romans 13, we'll look in verse 6. I'm sorry, Romans 13, verse 5. We'll start in verse 5. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Like obedient children. We used to be children of wrath, even as others, scriptures say. Children of murmuring, children always complain, children that were angry at everything around us. Now we're servants, we're meek, we're humble. Those children of wrath, mad at everything, who are they really mad at? God. But we're no longer children of wrath. Our teacher was effective. We're still learning through this life, though. The Lord doesn't save us one day and all of a sudden we're perfect. We're still in this flesh. We're still in this body of sin. Verse 6, Romans 13, 6. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, His servants, attending continually upon this very thing. My boss is mean to me. Can't stand my boss. He's a tyrant. Who put him there? Who gave you that job? We need to continually attend upon these very things, don't we? Verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due. Up here in verse 4 it says they carry that sword and it ain't in vain. You go out and drink you a bunch of beer and drive up down that road, you're going to find out what the local sheriff's sword is like. It's not in vain. He put them there. Honor to whom honor. Verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. We saw this morning, if we love our brethren, that's because the love of Christ is in us and we've already fulfilled that law. It's complete. Our master said, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is. Told us to pray for our enemies. Don't rebel. Don't fight against them. Submit and be happy in the Lord. He careth for you. Our Lord works all things for His glory and our good. You remember Joseph and Mary? You men, listen to me. I want you to put yourself in Joseph's shoes. You have a pregnant wife with your first child. There's a tyrannical dictator, Herod, running the country. And he decides he wants to have a census. Make people pay some taxes. Everybody needs to go to the place they was born. He needs a bigger boat. He's got a social cause he wants to push. Some evil cause, whatever it is. And now you and your wife, your wife's six months pregnant. You got to make a 3-month journey to get back home. So this wicked man can do some type of injustice. How would you feel? I would have withstood the whole way. I would have griped and complained and kicked dirt the whole way. But notwithstanding, as our Lord says, they went to Bethlehem. Why would they have to go there? That's where our Savior must be born. Back to our text. I'll try to hurry it up. We are free, children of the kings. We don't have to pay taxes. Verse 27, Matthew 17, 27. All those things don't apply to us. But notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go out into the sea. There's so much here. I'll try to keep it brief. What's that sea a picture of? The unseen riches of the Lord. We also see the wrath of the Lord in those waves. But once you get underneath there, there's no storms. Nothing bothers you. And there's nothing but life and riches. It says, oh, the depths, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Go out to the sea, he tells him, and cast a hook. Peter, did they tell him, go dig up some earthworms? He said, get you a rooster tail. Put your spinner bait on there. He said, cast the hook. Jared, when we go fishing, do we put bait on the hook? Yeah, that's how you catch fish, isn't it? That's a good picture for modern religion in these days. They want to be fishers of men, and they bait those hooks, whatever they can put on there. Mm-hmm. We cast the hook. And take up the first, that take the fish that first cometh up. Render the first fruits unto the Lord. I need that. I need that fish. Render the first fruits unto the Lord. Watch what happens. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. One piece of money. One payment's needed. One required payment. Take it and give it for me and thee. Our Lord came as the God-man to do something for Himself, for His name's sake, and for me. Man cannot pay the tribute that God requires. Christ came and kept the law for Himself, and for me, and for His people, and for you. Christ provided all our needs on this earth, all of our spiritual needs. We have never contributed anything. As that president used to say, I didn't build that. I'm bad for that. If we have a job, he gave it. If we have hands to work with, he made them and he puts energy in them. If we eat a chicken, I was thinking about this the other day. We eat a chicken. Whether it was a chicken or an egg. The Lord created a chicken in the beginning of the world, and He sustained chickens all through that lineage and through diseases and through pestilence and through forest fires and everything, so I could have a chicken on my table today. Gave me the money to buy it. Physically, in this world, we may see that we won't be able to pay the tribute. There's going to be times I've experienced this, and I know I will more the longer I live. How are we going to make ends meet? How am I going to pay that bill? Go to the Lord. Go to His house. Much more importantly, spiritually, we may feel completely bankrupt. What's our Lord tell us to do? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Cast all your care on Him. Don't bring anything with you. Cast a bare, naked hook into His depths of mercy. And you'll find everything that's needed. Everything. I hope that's a blessing to you. Let's pray together.